All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, speaking to you from the here in New York City on the 20th day of March, 2018. Before I talk more about today's show, as I like to remind you, every week I am the author of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. Gold, Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for my letter at miningstocks.com. And also pick up on a lot of good commentary. There are links to great articles that are written by various people, as well as the companies that I follow. You can keep up with those as well through the links at miningstocks.com. Would also like to encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's excellent newsletter. ChenPicks.com is where you go for that, ChenPicks.com. And I want to thank you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. We also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Our sponsors for this week are RN Resources, Ventura Resources, Dynacore Gold Mines, Genesis Metals Corp., Klondike Gold, New Range Gold Corp., Northern Empire, Novo Resources, and Uranium Energy. I've titled today's show, Are We Facing a 1970s Stagflation in Spades? John Rubino, Michael Oliver, and Nav Dhaliwal are all return guests this week. As Alistair MacLeod has noted recently on this show, we are at that point in the credit cycle when money created by the Fed is finally starting to bleed into the economy, into the real economy, triggering rising wages, some additional economic activity, and ultimately higher commodity prices. Ms. Shedlack wrote in a very interesting article that I picked up on this morning, Oh No, We're Running Out of People, was the title of the article. You can access that at miningstocks.com, just as an example of one of the reasons to go there. The idea is that as this economy heats up, there just aren't enough people in the workforce, suggesting that we're going to be heading into some sort of wage inflation problem here. Shedlack isn't buying that. He's suggesting that there's just an awful lot of people that have simply taken themselves out of the workforce, and that, in fact, that's not something to worry about. Well, Michael has always been more of a deflationist, so it doesn't surprise me at all. But you can pick up on that article at miningstocks.com. I think a very interesting story, a very interesting idea is that Mike passes along. Whatever the story, Michael Oliver's work strongly suggests that we are destined for rising commodity prices and stock and bond declines. And at the same time, it is widely expected that President Trump's tariffs will lead to higher U.S. consumer prices, especially if a trade war breaks out. Well, while free trade is a principle that economists from the far left to the far right agree on, there may be a huge amount of difference when free trade is defined. What is free trade? Well, regarding the idea of free trade, I would strongly suggest that you again go to miningstocks.com to click on a link by Charles Hugh Smith titled, There Is No Free Trade, There Is Only the Darwinian Game of Trade. Actually, Charles Hugh Smith is scheduled to be on this show with me next week to discuss the topic, that topic, which has brought about much wrath, of course, Donald Trump's trade tariffs that he's talking about implementing. Some are even comparing Trump's trade proposals with that of the Smoot-Hawley tariffs that I think erroneously to a great extent at least, are blamed for the Great Depression of the 1930s. Others think that we are heading more towards a 1970s stagflation environment in which the cost of living is rising at the same time that recessions abound. And that is what we will be talking to John Rubino about, at least part of our discussion in the second half of today's show. One sector that did exceedingly well during the stagflations of the 1970s was the gold exploration stocks. And that's when I cut my teeth in this industry that I'm so much involved with. So I'm really pleased to have Nav Dhaliwal of Bonterra with me today to talk about that company's exploration program. It seems to be outlining on its way to a multi-million high-grade gold deposit in Quebec. Very exciting story, I must say. I own shares of the company. It is a recommendation in my newsletter. And, of course, that's why I invited them to become sponsors of this show. In the 1970s, the Fed attempted to counter inflationary pressures by printing more money, which led to serious inflationary problems at that time. Unlike the 1970s, the current Fed is on a restrictive monetary path. But how much pain can be endured before political pressures force the Fed to again add monetary fuel to the inflationary fires? What will all this mean for stocks, bonds, and precious metals? And again, we're going to be talking to John Rubino about that in the second half of today's show. But Michael Oliver, also right now. Michael, thanks for joining me again.
Good to be back, Jay.
Always good to have you, and you know, we like to say in the exploration business that we have something called the truth-telling machine, the truth machine, and that's called the drill rig. Geologists have theories about where a certain mineral might be, but they never know for sure until they put the drill core down. They pull up the drill core, and then they send it to the lab and they assay it, and that tells you what you've got. And I like to really sort of compare your structural momentum models to a truth machine, Michael. So, you know, I, as far as I can tell, I've never found any reason to doubt your integrity and the work that you do. And I think it's to a large extent because you rely on what your work is telling you. You're not telling the work what it should be saying. You're listening to what the markets are telling you, right?
Yeah, correct.
So, I mean, that's the difference. And, you know, people like me who are, you know, we have our theories. I buy the Austrian economic theory, as I know you do too. Austrian free market economics are really where we should be. That's the best outcome for people. But believing that then sometimes takes me to believe that markets are going to go somewhere long before they do. I'm usually right, but I'm wrong in terms of timing. So this is what I think your work has been so helpful to me. Rates are on the rise today, Michael. At least they were earlier today. The dollar index was stronger today. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the equity markets recently, but they were sort of going the wrong way. A lot of these markets today seem not to be fitting in with your longer term strategy. Comment on the equity markets, because I think that you put out something just recently about the NASDAQ in particular that you're watching very closely.
No, my focus has shifted recently mostly to the NASDAQ 100, and it's the front man in the entire developed markets indices of the world in terms of upside performance. The leadership, the narrow leadership, is confined in the front end of the NASDAQ 100. It's the Googles, the Amazons, Apples, et cetera, and that's where your distinct leadership has been. So of all the indices that broke down earlier this year, especially in February, NASDAQ 100 was not one of them by our metrics. It dodged it by roughly 30 points, which is less than 0.5% in that early February sell-off, which busted the heck out of a lot of indices overseas and here in terms of getting off the high. S&P never went back to the high. NASDAQ went up, made a new high, NASDAQ 100. It didn't last, and last week's close on the NASDAQ 100 was back just above 7,000, which had been the prior two peaks of that index. So it thought it was sitting on support. Well, our suspicion in the weekend report is it's got minutes left. Okay, and sure enough, yesterday dropped 150 points in the NASDAQ 100. It actually more than that intraday. We think it's broken near term, but our key level is a quarter. We're looking at quarterly momentum, which is a long-term metric. We measure price against a three-quarter moving average, and we oscillate it. And it has a very clear structure. If you saw the momentum chart, it doesn't even look like the price chart. While the price chart is this upward curving arch, momentum is a flat floor. And it's like the bridge on the River Kwai. And I think the charges have been put up under the bridge right now, and I think all it has to do is close out a week below the structure that we define in our reports, and it's going to blow that and head down hard, meaning all the leadership stocks will be broken. And that's why our focus is fairly narrow now, because, frankly, the leadership is very, very narrow right now. So when NASDAQ 100 goes, I think that's it. That's the last straw. And then equities will head south. As far as day-to-day action, I couldn't care less. Frankly, we just put out a report on NASDAQ 100 echoing what we said in the weekend report. But I encourage our subscribers not to be eager for a drop in the NASDAQ right now. We had a big one yesterday. All I'd like to see between now and the end of the quarter is fumbling around in a confusing way, which is what markets love to do to get people debating whether they're up or down. The NASDAQ 100 doesn't have to do a lot more on the downside than it did yesterday by the end of the quarter, which is next Thursday, by the way, because it's a Friday holiday. And at that point, if you find the NASDAQ 100 roughly much below yesterday's low, or if it closes out this quarter around much below yesterday's low, which is just above 6,800, it's going to blow the bottom out of it when it opens next quarter. So we're patiently sitting on our hands right now, with the expectation that it's wounded and it could be badly broken once we roll into April, especially if its price just maneuvers itself toward those breakage numbers, which, again, are specified to our subscribers in the reports. But that's why our focus is narrow on that index, because it is the leader. As far as the rally in bonds, we expected it. We expected a minor countertrend rally about a month ago. It's not been as strong as we thought it might be. But it's a minor event in a major downtrend, meaning yields are going up. I think yields could go over 4% this year easily on 30-year bond.
Wow.
And, you know, right now price is 144 area. We could easily see in the high 120s on the T-bond futures. The German bunds look very weak. And there's all kinds of interesting events going over in Japan right now, where Abe is in some political scandal trouble. And if he's in trouble, it could be that the BOJ could be in some trouble in terms of who's in charge. And, you know, so we've got to watch the events there that could shake and rattle the BOJ in terms of its policy directions. Because it's been the most egregious, crazy central bank man has ever produced.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And they got a big jump on us all the way back in the 1990s, you know, after they...
They've been doing all kinds of magic things since then, and basically to no avail. But anyway, it's been an
interesting experiment. They haven't defied the laws of nature, the laws of nature's markets yet, I suspect. One quick word on gold. I see the dollar is very strong today, very strong, quote-unquote, up 0.6 on the index to 89.94 as I look at the screen right now. No change in your idea about the dollar longer term and gold? It's both bullish for gold?
Yeah, I'm still bullish on gold. I think gold is sitting near the upper quadrant of the last 2 years of price range. Silver is not. Silver is down in the middle of it. So is the GDX, the gold miners. But gold, meanwhile, is within a few percentage points of the top end of the last 2 years price range. And despite all the volatility up and down in the other markets, gold has been very quiet for 3 months.
Yeah.
In fact, it's one of the quietest 3 months we've had in a long time. And yet everybody's nervous. And I just see it as a waiting process to go up. And I think once you break the stock market, that will encourage greater investor preference shift out of equities into commodities.
Well, sure. Sure. We got the Canadians have their cannabis stocks, and there's Bitcoin, the cryptocurrencies, all those distractions, along with the stock market that's continuing to meander along. Although, as you say, the danger signs are there. And you also put out something I see this today or one of the recent days on the grains. You're still extremely bullish on the grains, aren't you? Looks like several of them are starting to break out.
The grains yesterday, and no doubt that upset some folks who were long, but the sell-off was above levels of the upside breakage on annual momentum that occurred in January and February. And I think the food commodities will, on a percentage upside basis, will outperform most commodities this year and contribute to the overall commodity inflation.
Yeah, which will get the central bankers a bit nervous.
Yeah, get them nervous. But then they got a predicament because if they want to try to fight the commodity inflation, they're going to hurt the stock market, and that puts them in a real pickle.
Well, they don't want that. That's for sure. They have the hissy fit stock market that David Stockman talks about has had Federal Reserve chairman in the past just pumping money into the system. Anyway. All right, Michael, thank you so much again for your insights. Always,
thank you, Jay.
Always very, very important. It's OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com. Folks, you don't know what you're missing if you're not subscribing to his newsletter, so you might want to check it out. If you're a serious investor, you owe it to yourself to do so. Thanks again, Michael, and we'll look to do it again next week, hopefully.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks, well, we do have to go to commercial break, but don't go away. Nav Dhaliwal of Bonterra Resources will be with me, and they have a very exciting project, on its way to becoming a multi-million high-grade gold deposit in Quebec that looks outstanding to me. So don't go away. We'll be right back to talk to Nav Dhaliwal.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
New Range Gold Corp is a Canadian junior explorer focused on its recently acquired flagship Pamlico Gold Project, located in Nevada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. Known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold districts, Pamlico was held by private interests for most of its history and remains largely unexplored. Drilling by New Range is already confirming the legendary grades of the district with intercepts up to 341 grams gold per ton. Well-financed with no debt, New Range is unlocking shareholder value at Pamlico and trades under TSX symbol NRG. A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.